Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me for another enlightening hour of very powerful conversations that we're going to be having today, as always. So for those of you who may be listening for the first time, welcome. This show is empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. And that's really what it's all about. So if you are listening and visiting for the first time, I invite you to go to my website, which is whatwomenmustknow.com, and my Facebook page, which has the same name, What Women Must Know, because not only will you receive archived versions of this show, you'll be able to be sent them direct, will be sent directly to you, but also there's some special reports, and on my Facebook page, I post much on a daily basis, important information, studies, articles, sometimes some really good recipes I come across. So it's all about continuing to empower you with the knowledge that'll really help you make those decisions for your health and well-being. I also want to say one other thing. I have recently returned from an amazing experience that I had when I was in Costa Rica. I was lecturing at a very special retreat center called Rhythmia, Rhythmia Life Advancement Center. And not only was I lecturing there on rejuvenation, but I also was participating in their program that they have there. They do a very special rejuvenation program, providing all sorts of services. They have a special hydrotherapy, they have massages, they have volcanic mud baths, they have classes, lectures. It's a beautiful part of Costa Rica. It's actually a part of Costa Rica called Guanacaste, which is considered part of the blue zone parts of the world where there's extreme longevity. The other thing that Rhythmia is known for, it is the only licensed plant medicine center in the world. And I've been really very interested in exploring the healing and transformative power of plant medicines from the Amazon, particularly the plant medicine known as ayahuasca that was conducted in ceremonies by shamans. I have seen people who have done this work at the center when I was there heal post-traumatic stress syndrome, heal their cancer, heal their anxiety, their emotional traumas, connect to a place of unconditional love within themselves, just shed the old perceptions that have caused a lot of pain and struggle, and open to a whole new connection with their heart and their soul. I say this to you because I will be returning to Rhythmia February 11th through 18th and taking a small group of people with me to have an experience of the healing at Rhythmia, the spa facet of the program, but also the plant medicine facet of the program. So if you are interested in learning more, you can contact me. And that's best thing to do is go to my email address is drselman@whatwomenmustknow, or you can call Rhythmia directly and get more information. It's 844-346-8069. That's 844-346-8069. So that's February 11th through the 18th. We're going to be in Costa Rica experiencing a life-changing, profound, transformational experience, quantum leaps. I guarantee you that. So maybe that's on the horizon for you as well. So go check it out. And let's get to my topic and to my special guest today, because this is a topic that I've been really passionate about for many, many years. I've been lecturing around the world on this topic, and I recently was introduced to my guest today, Arthur Furstenberg, and I'm so thrilled to have found out about the work that Arthur is doing and also his brand new book, which is quite a tome, actually. It's called The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. It's a fantastic book, really readable, but quite profound. And Arthur's my guest today. So before I bring them on, let me just tell you a little bit about him. Arthur Furstenberg is a scientist and journalist who is at the forefront of a global movement to tear down the taboo surrounding the subject of electropollution. After graduating Phi Beta Kappa from Cornell University with a degree in mathematics, he attended the University of California Irvine School of Medicine, but an injury by X-ray overdose cut short his medical career. For the past 35 years, he has been a researcher, consultant, and lecturer on the health and environmental effects of electromagnetic radiation, as well as a practitioner of several healing arts. And his newly released book is titled The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. So we have a really important conversation to have today, and I've titled the interview today as the most serious public health risk no one really knows about. So we're going to have a really profound conversation, and I'm so thrilled and so happy to be able to welcome Arthur Furstenberg to our show today. Hello, Arthur.
Hello, Dr. Selman. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for making the time, and congratulations on your beautiful new book, The Invisible Rainbow. It's quite a masterpiece, isn't it?
Thank you very much.
I mean, it's you know, you've got, it's so comprehensive. It's a huge book, you know, and a huge bibliography, but it's over 550-something pages, and
that's including the bibliography. The bibliography is about 140 pages of that.
Wow. So everything is referenced. If anyone ever questions anything that you are writing about, there it is. You can back it up with the original source. Well, there's lots we want to talk about. There are a couple of topics that get intertwined as we go along with our conversation today. So how about we just start with talking a bit about you and your passion and your work around educating people what's happening with our extensive use of electricity, and that kind of goes into the realm of electropollution from all our Wi-Fi devices, microwave radiation. So let's start there, Arthur, if we can, and kind of frame our conversation today.
Okay. Can I say something? There's an awful lot of static on my end of the line. Is that normal?
Well, I don't know if it's normal. You sound fine to me. If my engineer has anything else to say about it, he'll let me know. But
okay.
You sound okay. Hope it sounds okay to my listeners.
Okay.
Let's give it a shot.
Let's try it.
So go ahead. So we're going to start with that, you know, just if you can just kind of frame the whole topic we want to talk about, electricity and its various forms, and that takes us into the microwave radiation realm as well, and smart meters and those things.
Yeah. My book starts in the year 1746 when the Leyden jar was invented, and that was the first time that anybody had invented a way to store and use electricity in any form whatsoever. It was static electricity. And I trace the history of the use and experiments with static electricity up through the invention of the electric battery by Alessandro Volta in 1800, up through telegraph technology in the 1840s, 50s, on up through the beginning of the 19th century, up through telephones, up through the use of electricity for power, and to the present time, up through the invention of the wireless telegraph, and then radio, and then television, and then modern wireless technology and cell phones. And the reason I wrote the book is, I personally became aware of the effects of wireless technology on me, actually electricity on me, back in 1980, and I lived a relatively normal life until 1996, when what we now call 2G cell phones came into use, and cell towers, tens of thousands of them, were built all over the United States, and affected me horrifically. My own health, I was close to death within a week, actually, of the first 600 and some odd cell towers being turned on in the city of New York, where I was living, and I am now an EMF refugee, and there are many of us, thousands and thousands.
Wow. So you were so sensitive. Were you sick? Were you dealing with health issues before that, rather intense exposure to the Wi-Fi world was initiated, or were you?
I was and am a very healthy person.
Wow. Yeah.
What we call, or what a lot of people call, electrical sensitivity, is not an illness. It's an injury. It's an injury. It's a poisoning by a toxic element in your environment. And this toxic element, everybody's being poisoned by it. Everybody is being electrocuted to a smaller or larger extent. And depending on our genetics, some of us feel it a lot more than others.
Wow. Can I ask you how you experienced it, and did you immediately know what it was, what was causing these symptoms, or did you have to research and become aware?
I knew it in 1996 because I began researching the subject in 1980 when I was originally injured by X-rays.
Right. So, and what were the symptoms that appeared for you?
In which year?
Well, in 1996 when they turned on those 600-something towers in New York.
Yeah, I became dizzy, and I became nauseous, and then after a few days, I started to get heart palpitations, and then I became unable to eat, and then I became unable to sleep, and then my skin became so sensitive that I couldn't bear to be touched. And I packed my sleeping bag and I left town, and I haven't been back.
Yeah, and it's only intensified. So, so are there places that people can go who are electrosensitive? And we'll get into that topic, but I'm just really curious. It's getting harder and harder to do that these days.
It's impossible because there are now, I think, something like 2,500 satellites also broadcasting radio waves, radio frequency radiation from space. There are a couple of small fleets of satellites that are providing satellite telephone service. Actually, there is no escape from it, no matter where you go. But from terrestrial sources, the only place in the world, I believe still, although there was a telescope under construction in South Africa, I think one in Western Australia, but Greenbank, West Virginia, at least is the only protected place in the United States where it's called a radio quiet zone, because the National Radio Astronomy Observatory is there, and the amount of radiation coming from modern wireless technology, even a cell phone, even Wi-Fi in somebody's house, is so much more powerful than what exists in nature. And what they're looking for is the signals that come from stars. And those are trillion, quadrillion times weaker than the radiation that reaches them from somebody's house from a Wi-Fi signal, for example. So radio waves aimed in the direction of Greenbank, West Virginia, are prohibited by law from a 500-square-mile area of West Virginia and Virginia.
Wow.
And there is a refuge that there's a community of what I call, I'm always going to call it so-called electrical sensitivity because it's not, it's a misnomer.
Right.
But there is a community of electrically sensitive individuals that has congregated in Green Bank to escape the torture and in many cases to stay alive.
Well, you know, I don't know what the statistics are, and you can help us. I'll get the updated statistics. I heard something like 30% of the people in the country, and it's higher in some other countries, are electrosensitive, but I don't know if that's an accurate figure.
By some measures, yes. By some measures, that's true. By other measures, it's 5 to 10%. But if you look at the modern epidemics of cancer and diabetes and heart disease, each of which I devote a separate chapter to in my book, those epidemics are largely caused by the electropollution that we are immersed in.
Okay, so can we elaborate on that? Because that's a really powerful statement, and I want people to really understand how exposure to these frequencies are impacting our health. And I just want to say, you made a comment earlier in our conversation about the fact that electrosensitivity, if that's not necessarily the most accurate word, but it's actually an injury. It's actually an injury from this really toxic frequency that has, in a relatively
And everybody knows what it feels like to some extent, because sometime during your life you've accidentally touched a live wire. You know what it would feel like to stick your finger in a light socket. People who are at the end of at the much more sensitive end of the scale feel that to some degree all the time.
Right, and I know people like that who are so debilitated by exposure to those frequencies now. So, So Arthur, can you give us more of an understanding of why this is harming us and why this is such a toxic but invisible poison that's permeated our world?
Well, the basic reason is that we are electrical beings. And even a more basic reason than that is that on the non-atomic scale, there are only two forces in the universe. There's gravity, and there's electromagnetism. Chemical forces, those are electromagnetic. Our cells communicate with each other electromagnetically. This is not widely acknowledged in medicine, and it's my goal to make it so. The Dr. Robert O. Becker, who was at the State University of New York at Albany. He was an orthopedic surgeon, wrote a tremendously important book back in 1985 called The Body Electric. And as a result of his life's work, he showed how our cells communicate with each other, how our body's growth and healing processes are orchestrated by electromagnetic signaling. And once you start to realize that, you also realize that you cannot increase the electromagnetic fields around us. If you're an engineer, you should realize this, that there's such a thing as electromagnetic interference on wires and on electronic process products. And our bodies are an exquisitely sensitive electronic organism subject to such interference.
In particular,
I discuss in my book what happens at the mitochondrial level inside our cells. Every cell has mitochondria that are responsible for metabolism, for digesting the food that we eat. And it depends on an electron transport system which transfers electrons from the fats and sugars and proteins that we eat to the oxygen that we breathe. And it has emerged that electromagnetic fields interfere with electron transport and slow down metabolism. And this has tremendous implications. If you can't digest your sugars efficiently, sugar backs up and accumulates in your blood and it gets excreted in your urine and you have diabetes. If you can't digest fats efficiently, fats back up in your blood and get deposited in your arteries and cause heart disease. And the cancer story is a really interesting one because it is well known that cancer cells grow and thrive in the absence of oxygen. So to the degree that we are deprived of oxygen by an impairment of electron transport, that either causes or encourages cancers to grow. And it was Dr. Samuel Milam, who was at the Department of Health at the University of Washington until he retired, who paved the way for those chapters in my book. I drew off of his work where he first proved epidemiologically that the electrification, rural electrification in the United States had the effect in the 1930s of quintupling rates of cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. And I have extended the epidemiology back until the beginning of the modern epidemics, which in each case occurred in about the 1850s. What was so special about the 1850s? That was when tens of thousands of miles of telegraph wires first encircled the earth.
Well, we don't think about telegraph wires being a source of impairment of our bodies functioning.
No, people don't give a second thought to electricity in any form, but actually the first telegraph systems were probably more impactful in some ways than modern electrical than the modern electrical grid, because they were one wire systems. There was no return wire to the power plant. They used the earth as the return path for the current. So everybody that lived in the return path got heavily exposed just from the early telegraph systems.
So exposure to electricity is interfering with our own electrical functioning of our cells, which, as you were saying, is the primary way the cells communicate. We are an electric being, so to speak. And exposed to these really strong fields start interfering with basic physiological functions in the body, impairing them, compromising them, creating aberrant behavior within our cell-to-cell communication.
Yes.
Wow. So isn't there something in the very, very beginning when electricity, when we first harnessed electricity, we had a choice that would have altered the course of our destiny with regards to health issues and electricity?
Yes. In the year 1800, there was two conflicting positions as to what electricity was. In throughout the 1700s, basically, it was thought that electricity was a property of life. And in the 1790s, an Italian doctor named Galvani, he was actually an obstetrician, was experimenting with frogs, and he noticed that when he touched two dissimilar metals together and also touched them to the frog's gastrocnemius muscle and its sciatic nerve, the frog would twitch. And he thought that the source of this was what he called animal electricity, that the two dissimilar metals somehow drew the animal electricity out of the frog's body. And then along came Alessandro Volta, who said, nonsense. Electricity has nothing whatsoever to do with life. This is just caused by the metals themselves. And he did a profound experiment. He eliminated the frog, and he touched two pieces of metal, dissimilar metals together, like in today's electric batteries, and he got an electric current. And he said, voila, electricity is inanimate, has nothing to do with life. And he won the day that the people who believed in animal electricity were drowned out by the voices of the people who didn't. And based on that, we started to wire the world without regard for its effects on biology. Some decades later, in many cases, many decades later, it was discovered, well, the electroencephalogram was eventually discovered, the electrocardiogram. It was discovered that our nerves weren't just tubes of water conducting chemicals, that they actually conducted electric current. It was discovered that electricity did, in fact, have something to do with life. But somehow, the development of electricity went on oblivious, as if that knowledge, that medical knowledge, did not exist. And it is still going on today, over 200 years later, as if that medical knowledge does not exist.
And the parallel, Arthur, is that the same ignorance that our Wi-Fi microwave radiation world has no impact on our health, or at least we've been led to believe that, is operating out of the same ignorance that has the direct impact and probably, you know, the millions of times stronger now, and it's compromising our body's ability to function. But
and
that same ignorance
thing.
And arrogance.
And it's the same thing, because what is Wi-Fi? What is cell phone emissions? It's electricity, but it's electricity that's deliberately broadcast through the air instead of being confined to a wire. When you had a telegraph wire, when you have an electric wire in your house, the idea is to confine the current to a wire, and whatever escapes is an electromagnetic field, but it's inadvertent.
That's such a good definition. That really helps to clarify things for me, which I never thought about before.
And now, for the first time, for the past 20-some-odd years, we've been, well, actually, with wireless in the beginning of the 20th century, yeah, we started to deliberately broadcast high-frequency electricity through the air. And now we're doing it on a humongous scale.
Knowing that it is a toxic frequency that is altering those that are in power understand and are well aware that this is a disastrous exposure to the entire population of the world.
Well, I think actually very few people realize that. And that is the reason that I wrote my book. People, if you don't feel it, it's hard to grasp that this can be that harmful.
But the powers that be know that, Arthur, right? The powers that are putting this out, the government, the industry, they know.
Well, it depends. There are individuals in the government, and a few individuals probably know. I would say most of them don't.
Really?
In the former Soviet Union, in Russia and Ukraine, the generation that knew is dying out. For example, Yuri Grigoryev, who just retired as chairman of the Russian National Committee on Non-Ionizing Radiation, he's in his 90s. And a lot of the people that did the experiment, and I've been meeting people in this country. The Russians know. The Russians that I've been meeting in this country that went to medical school in Russia, yes, they know. To some extent, they know, but they use cell phones, so they don't internalize it somehow.
Right. Well, you know, let's take a break right here, and we need to just have a quick little station break. We're going to come back, and Arthur, we're going to elaborate on this, and also hopefully you can give us some practical solutions and things we can do to minimize the effect to our health as well.
Okay.
Okay, so everyone, stay tuned. This is a really important conversation, really important conversation. Don't go away. You're listening to What Women Must Know. I'm Dr. Cheryl Selman, and my conversation today is with Arthur Furstenberg, who is the author of The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. So we'll be back right away.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
The Dr. Peter Breggin Hour interviews the most exciting innovators in the field of mental health, from therapists and researchers to advocates of patient rights. Join me and other pioneers in psychology, psychiatry, and empathic living with the aim of improving your life and the lives of everyone you touch. Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen live or on the archives 24/7 at PRN.FM. Don't forget to rate the show on iTunes. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. Welcome back to What Women Must Know. We are having a really profound conversation with Arthur Furstenberg, who is the author of The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life, a really important book that we should all be reading. So we'll talk more about how to get it, but this is the book that just explains everything that's going on with our world right now in terms of exposure to electropollution of all sorts, The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. And a really good website that I'd like everyone to go to is cellphonetaskforce.org. That's cellphonetaskforce.org, which will take you to Arthur, his work and his book, and lots of other important resources on the subject. So that's cellphonetaskforce.org. So, Arthur, let's continue this really important conversation about how electricity is harming our body, and to understand it's a continuum. I mean, we're talking about from the telegraph to electricity for lighting in our homes, and now the electricity that's being transmitted wirelessly through our Wi-Fi technologies and on into things like 5G and smart meters and this ever-growing world that is invading and penetrating every aspect of life on this planet with this, you know, frequency, this high frequency of electropollution. You know, your book had some really interesting facts and stories about the growth of the incidence of diabetes, heart disease, and cancer as we became more and more electrified, and as we continue to get more and more electrified. Can you just address that for a little bit?
Could you be more specific?
Well, I was reading, let's talk about diabetes, and you were talking about the Native American tribes there, that when diabetes really started to be a big problem, because it's well known
the
Native tribes,
true,
you know, are more susceptible and have a high incidence of diabetes, but we always associate it with their diet, and you claim there's something else going on for them and for us.
I believe it's true that the Indian Health Service did not report I don't have that page in front of me, but they didn't report a single death from or a single case of diabetes until like 1950, something like that. I lived up on Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in 2007 for a few months, and I was living with a medicine man that he told me that diabetes did not exist in his tribe until the 1950s. And I made further inquiry, and it turns out that his reservation did not have electricity until the 1950s. And perhaps Native Americans are more susceptible to diabetes than other people, but they never experienced it as long as they live without electricity. So that's...
Their
diet did not suddenly change in the 1950s.
And as you said in the book, I mean, they were eating fry bread, which is like white flour that's fried and sugar is put on. I mean, they were not eating a healthy diet, but they were not experiencing diabetes, which is so amazing to learn about.
That is true.
You would have thought, right? You would have thought. Now, maybe it's a perfect storm that when electricity was introduced into their environment, then things started to deteriorate physiologically for them.
It appears that way. It appears that there was a direct correlation.
So how do you explain that? What's the mechanism going on around this exposure to electricity and making us much more vulnerable to? I mean, in your book, you talk about and explain how cardiovascular disease and diabetes, and we mentioned earlier a little bit about cancer. I would say most chronic illnesses would be exacerbated by exposure to these fields.
Yes, but most dramatically illnesses that are dependent on our metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
That whenever you slow metabolism, you get a certain set of results from it, and one of which is diabetes, one of which is heart disease, and one of which is cancer. And since those are these three major killers of humankind today, that's why I focused on that.
Okay, so our metabolism...
I mean, a lot of the other diseases that you're talking about are neurological diseases. There's an increase in Alzheimer's, autism, and Parkinson's...
And inflammatory conditions, pro-inflammatory autoimmune things as well.
Yeah.
So can you just elaborate a little bit, Arthur, about how that metabolism is impaired?
Well, I went into that a little while ago.
But I think we need to hear it again, because I don't know if people really get the importance.
That electromagnetic fields interfere with electron transport in our mitochondria.
So it's a mitochondrial dysfunction.
It's a mitochondrial dysfunction, correct.
So our inability to generate energy to perform.
Yeah, the mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells. When we digest our food, they get transformed into basic sugars, fats, and proteins. They go into the mitochondria inside the cell, where they undergo additional transformations through electron transport from one molecule to another, and eventually to oxygen molecules that we breathe. And without that electron transport, we don't generate energy.
So, I mean, that means that your body cannot perform key functions, nor do you even have energy to function. I mean, you feel exhausted. You don't, you know, you can't think. You don't have vitality. So it's really interesting, Arthur, because this whole thing on mitochondria dysfunction is one of the hottest topics in functional medicine right now. You know, there's an epidemic of mitochondrial dysfunction, which people are trying to find, you know, the reasons and the solutions, but what I hear you saying, based on the research you've done, is that one of the key things is this electrified world that we're immersed in and getting more so is actually a primary cause.
My book needs to get into the hands of the people that are doing that research.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wow. Yes, that's a big story, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a really big story. So, I want to make sure we talk about some of the solutions, because I never like to talk about a problem without giving people some options for solutions and hope. Otherwise, it's a really grim story, because there's, you know, I mean, we're plugging more and more things into, you know, our outlets in our homes. We're getting more and more gadgets, and we're getting more and more into our Wi-Fi gadgets. And maybe we can, before we look at some of the solutions that you recommend, maybe we should move on and talk about, I know, a topic that you're really passionate about right now, which is, well, we can include smart meters, the application and the installation of smart meters to people's homes.
Smart meters, 5G,
yes,
and satellites are the
right
three. The satellites, I'll put in a different class by themselves. Smart meters, so far, is the most impactful of all the technologies on human beings. Like, more people are getting sick from smart meters than got sick from cell phones, Wi-Fi, all the rest of the stuff.
And we should add that smart meters are ways that your utilities company will come and put a smart meter on your home without your permission. And people listening should go and check, because they probably have a smart meter on where their analog meter was when they were measuring your usage of electricity. But now it's been changed over, so you might want to check. Most people are surprised to discover that they have a smart meter.
The way you tell if you have a smart meter is it has an FCC ID number on the meter. If it does not have an FCC ID number, it's not a smart meter.
Aha. Uh-huh. So FCC right on the front of the meter. You know, in Oklahoma...
And I also recommend that people call up their utility company and find out the exact date. If you have a smart meter, which most people in the U.S. do at this point, find out the exact date when it was installed. And chances are, if you will be able to relate some illness that you have or physical discomfort that began exactly then.
Especially if it is against your bedroom.
Yes.
Especially if it's against your bedroom wall. So it's penetrating into
sleep. But even if it's not, because the smart meter is plugged into the wiring of your house, and the frequencies
yes
travel from the smart meter into all of your house wiring and surround you in your house, wherever you are.
So your wiring in your home becomes a vehicle for taking these frequencies, these microwave radiation frequencies, throughout your entire home.
Correct. It creates a high-frequency soup in your house.
Yeah, it's like it jumps on the wiring, and there you go. You not only have electricity, but you have these other frequencies riding along with it.
And a lot of jurisdictions have opt-outs, and some of them are very expensive opt-outs. A few jurisdictions have free opt-outs. Some electric companies don't offer opt-outs at all. It's done by hundreds of different utility companies in the country, and you just have to call and find out what's happening in your area and if
so
you can opt-out.
Right. So I can tell you that once it's on, you can't opt out. And here in Oklahoma, it costs you about $100 to have the right to refuse a smart meter, and then it's $25 a month for thereafter, forever after.
And we are fighting to keep smart meters out of most of New Mexico. We still don't have them.
Well, it's a good fight. I hope you win.
Thank you.
So why don't we just let people know why you are so passionate about enlightening people on the subject, why I am so passionate about enlightening people on the dangers of smart meters.
Well, it's not just smart meters. We have 5G cell phone technology coming, and it's not even going to be cell phones anymore. The industry wants to connect. They want to make everything smart, not just smartphones. They want to make smart cars and smart appliances and smart hair dryers and smart diapers and smart milk cartons. It's like everything you buy is going to have a chip or an antenna in it if they get their way, and it's all going to be connected up to the Internet. And in order to do this, they are going to be using a very, very high frequency part of the spectrum called millimeter waves, and they will need to put an antenna, a small cell tower, on every block in every city throughout the country.
Which is forbidden right now. Right now it's by law not allowed to have it in residential areas and in schools, et cetera, but that's about to change.
It's about to change. There are 11 or 12 states that have already passed laws making small wireless facilities in the public rights of way exempt from local zoning laws.
And we have it going on in Oklahoma and right here in Tulsa. There's a suburb in Tulsa that actually, a small town outside of Tulsa that has just introduced 5G.
Well, Santa Fe, where I live, has just passed a law exempting small wireless facilities from zoning regulations, and we're about to take our city to court. In California, there's a massive uprising against Senate Bill 649 right now, which just passed the California Senate and Assembly, and there's a big campaign to get Governor Jerry Brown to veto it. There's more awareness of this issue in California than, well, there were 70 cities actually that sued in Ohio and got their law overturned. So it's a fight. It's a fight that's going on right now all over the country. The telecom industry is lobbying Congress. There are three bills pending in Washington. They're lobbying the states, and they're lobbying a lot of municipalities to pass these laws exempting, abolishing zoning, actually, for small cell towers. So
right.
They can put them up willy-nilly anywhere they want in front of your house with no warning, and there's not a thing you can do about it. And this is what the emergency is, but not even that. I don't know if you've heard of what's going on in the sky. Elon Musk wants to launch thousands of satellites to provide high-speed broadband from space wirelessly. It's like wireless internet, Wi-Fi the whole planet.
Yeah.
And Google has a scheme to do this. Facebook has a scheme to do this. Samsung has a scheme to do this, 4,600 satellites. All the major players want to Wi-Fi every last square inch of the earth so they can sign up every last person on the earth to social media. And this is what's going on. And that is a dire threat to life on earth. And what it means is that very shortly, unless we stop it, there will be no escape from this technology. And that's really the urgency behind publicizing my book. It's not, I mean, yes, you can refuse a smart meter, but what are you going to do when there's an antenna in front of your house that you can't do anything about? What are you going to do when it's raining microwaves from space that you can't do anything about? It must stop. And tied in with that is the dependence on more and more wireless devices by us, by the people. That has to stop, because the two go hand in hand. People want more and more. The companies give us more and more. But how do they give us more and more? More and more radiation, more and more antennas, more and more satellites. It's got to stop. If we value our future, it's got to stop. And this is why I aim for this book to be the silent spring for EMFs.
Right.
That we have to put this issue on the map, and we have to get the policymakers to become aware that, yes, after 200-some-odd years, electricity is an environmental factor, and it has to be taken into account as in the environment, biology, and health have to be taken into account with every advance in technology. And if they're not, we're going to kill ourselves. And that's why I wrote this book.
And two things I want to say. There's a great app called The Architecture of Radio that I encourage people to get. And The Architecture of Radio will show you in live time all the frequencies that are penetrating into right where you are. And that's from cell phone towers, smart meters, from satellites. You will see them and hear them. They have a visual representation. So you will have a direct experience of what's going on. It's a fantastic app. Do you know about that one, Arthur, The Architecture of Radio?
I don't. I don't use a cell phone.
Okay.
So I don't use any apps. I advise people, if they want to improve their health, the most important thing that they can do is get rid of their cell phone, because it's the single biggest exposure to microwave frequencies, bar none.
Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? It's really a tough one.
If we don't, this expansion of wireless technology, 5G, it's going to be difficult to stop unless people slow down, use their devices less, think about getting rid of them. Otherwise, this is really it's a more immediate threat to life on Earth than climate change. Because climate change, yes, it's speeding up, but we have about 3 years to prevent this rain from space. And that is in the basically at the end of my book. I inserted that. I wrote this book. I started writing this book a few years ago, and I had to insert that in my book because that's the biggest emergency on the planet right now.
So what other recommendations do you make to minimize the effects, you know, the adverse effects on our health?
Stop using wireless technology. Minimize it. If you can't stop, minimize it to the degree that you can. Unplug your Wi-Fi modem at night. Take the battery out of your cell phone when you're not using it, if you can. Otherwise, turn it off and put it far away from you.
Yeah, you know, there are some technologies that have been beneficial. There's a patented technology that I use that can help minimize it, because it's not just about your cell phone. I mean, it's our computers. It's everywhere. I mean, we become so dependent. So there's certain, there are certain things that can help the body withstand the effect. But I hear what you're saying, and it's true. We really need to be aware and wake up, especially
there's a limit. Yeah, there's a limit to how much you can protect yourself. You can't keep amping up the volume indefinitely. Eventually, you're going to run out of the ability to protect yourself.
Absolutely, and that's why it's so imperative that we understand the issue and join in the activist campaign to bring more awareness and to stop this, especially this 5G, which I've been talking about. I've had people on my radio talking about 5G, posting a lot on my Facebook about 5G. People are absolutely oblivious to what's going on and what we're about to embrace with this 5G, which is already being rolled out, and it should be rolled out with completion by 2020, I believe.
And again, there's awareness happening in California. And if Governor Brown vetoes this bill, it's going to be in the news. There are 300 cities in California that have opposed SB 649. It's a tremendous effort that these people are putting in, and it's having results.
Yeah. Well, your work is so important, Arthur. So I want to remind people again of your book called The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. The best place, well, I wanted to say the website that you can learn more about this whole issue and lots of other issues related to this topic is cellphonetaskforce.org. Is that the best place to go to get the book?
Yes, cellphonetaskforce.org, and anybody who wants to contact me can contact me via my website.
So hopefully people
and I will answer all emails.
Right. I mean, I know you're a man on a mission, and it's a really big, big, big story. And, you know, I call this whole electropollution situation the most, which is why I titled our conversation today for the show, the biggest public health disaster that no one knows about. It underpins all the other crises, all the other pollution issues. It's driving and exacerbating all these risk factors, and no one really understands it and is aware of it. Last word, Arthur?
No, I agree. I urge people to buy my book. Go to my website. I'll make another suggestion. Tonight, everybody that's listening, unplug your Wi-Fi modem, turn off your cell phone, unplug your TV, unplug your computer, and see how you feel in the morning.
And I just want to add to that, especially do not go to sleep charging your phone or having the phone next to you under your pillow. Check what's on the other side of the wall. Take away all those devices, particularly in your bedroom, because that impairs your body's ability to really heal and repair and detoxify at night, and it allows you to have more quality sleep, which is a big problem. So if nothing else, I agree with Arthur, unplug your router, shut down your computers, shut off your phone, and do not go to bed with anything charging or plugged in next to your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Arthur, it's been such a pleasure. I just want to support you in whatever way I can. I really encourage everybody to get Arthur's latest passion and his, you know, the work he's put into this over the years, The Invisible Rainbow, A History of Electricity and Life. Go to the website, cellphonetaskforce.org. Get empowered, get educated, and get healthy. So, Arthur Furstenberg, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Dr. Selman.
And to all of you listening, thank you for joining me. And remember, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.